Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe. The one who has created everything in such a sequence that everything is calculated, precise, and connected in a manner in which the whole universe is holding on to each and every single creation as if one is not there, the whole of the system would collapse. And that is such a complex creation, this universe, that for human beings it is not possible to understand the connectivity of the creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. There is no computer out there, there is no hardware out there that can compute the sequence in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected everything together. Just to give you an idea, for me to be in front of you right now in this moment of time, if I don't say trillion, it'll probably be, conservatively I'll say trillion, because it's probably more than that. Things had to happen and get connected for this event to happen. Because everything is connected, I had to be born. First, of course, if I was to be here, I had to be born. Before that, my parents. And before my parents, their parents. They would have to exist. They would have to be in a way, in a manner, in a sequence that all of those things connect each other to the point that I'm born. And through that, my life, in every single action that I did or I said, everything was connected to the point where I decided to, for example, go and study. And after all of those things that were connected, somebody else who asked me to come had to be born. And their parents and their parents and their parents. For all of you to be in this place, you had to be born. And your parents, and your parents, and your parents. If you start looking at the probabilities and the sequence and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected everything, it is mind-boggling that how everything was connected so that I could be in front of you and you could be hearing this. Or even those individuals who are going to hear it afterwards. Maybe after 50 years, all of those things are connected in that sequence. And nobody else can have this knowledge but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, now the connectivity of things determines the events that happen. And these events that are happening are only happening in two tense. Past and how many tense do we have? Past, present, and future. In reality, there's only past and future. Okay. And the present actually really doesn't exist. If it exists in on such a minute level, right, it's moving so fast that it's on such a minute level that it's like, you know, a bullet train passing you. When a bullet train passes you, right? It's passing with such a speed that it's really no present there. By the time you look at the bullet train, it's already gone. By the time you look at it, it's already gone. So really, it was past or future. There was no such thing as present. If somebody asks you what time it is, what do you do? If you were to ask me what time it is, I would go by the time I would look at my watch, and I will tell you, when you ask me that, what time it is, it's not that time anymore. Right? And when you calculate time, you are quantifying it in the smallest of the units possible. And the smallest unit that you and I are familiar with is seconds. But they can also quantify that into nanoseconds, into atomic seconds. Right? The atomic seconds compared to 1 second, it's like eternity. They don't finish. When you're looking at them, that 1 second seems like an eternity. It doesn't finish. The light that you receive travels 300,000 kilometers per hour, more or less, in each second. Travels from the sun to you in 8 minutes. Right? If you are traveling with the speed of light, the theoretical physics and, you know, the scientists, they say that time, it seems as if it stops. Even the past and the future stops. And only at that time, maybe there is a present. But for us who are not traveling at the speed of light, then we only have 2 tenses. It's the past or the future. I started speaking to you, right? When I started speaking to you, every word that I'm saying, it's already going in the past. And every look that you're giving me, and every thought that is coming to your mind, is already going in the past. So really, there's only 2 tenses. And in these 2 tenses, the speed is such, you know, it is so fast that to somebody to compute all of the sequences, that everything has to be connected so that the 280 billion galaxies can remain in its place, it's unfathomable for any human being or computer out there. And this is just something of an idea that I'm giving to you. If you go into more detail about it, you would be amazed. This brain activity that produced this result for you, in front of you, right? Just to give you how lowly the technology is, because sometimes we think of the technology that we have right now is so amazing. Right? The most technological advanced machine is you and I that exists right now. We are a carbon-based machine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Just like every other machine that is created, is made, there is a manufacturer's stamp. You also have a stamp. It says property of Allah. It says property of Allah. Right? This carbon-based machine that we have, if you think about it, it has different parts. Right? Just like every other machine. And all of these parts are working in sequence for this machine to function. Right? When one of the parts is not functioning, what happens? You go to the mechanic, and that mechanic is a doctor. For the carbon-based machines, the mechanic is a doctor. The doctor looks at you, looks at inside of your body, looks at the different parts and says, well, your heart, your water pump is not working properly. There seems to be a blockage. Right? It seems to be there is a blockage in the piping that is inside of you, and we need to take that blockage off. Right? So basically, it's just that thing that we give it so much importance to is just a pump. It's pumping blood, right? True or not? So when you go through, and they go through more in detail about this carbon-based body, they'll realize that the most complex machine that can ever be created, can be made by the knowledge of man, is actually this carbon-based body of ours. This machinery of ours. To give you the idea of how complex it is and what technology you have with the Samsung, you know, what is the newest one? Note 4, right? I think that's the newest thing. The next big thing is Note 4 and S5. There's nothing, anything further than that. iPhone S6S, you know, that's 6 plus, something like that. Right. So these are the most, you know, advanced technological phones, although the other companies will argue. And when they argue, in reality, all the chips are made in one place. It's just the same, you know, parts they put together and they put a different name and said next big thing. And the impulsive buyer, oh my God, I need to have that. What do? They just make the screen a little bit bigger or smaller, or, you know, the thickness of it goes a little bit here and there, and say, oh my God, I need to get that. Right? When the iPhone 5 came out, the iPhone 4 and iPhone 5, there was not much of a difference. People couldn't tell. So these sort of technological advanced machines that we have, that if you were to take it back about 20 years, people would think you are from Mars. That you have such a thing that computes, it's such a small thing, but it has more power than my server. The server that I have with all this whole room filled with hardware, you have something in the palm of your hand that has more processing power than that. You must be from outer space. Right? True. So this complex machine of yours, let's see. The 1 second of brain activity was duplicated in 2 hours by the most advanced computers out there. What? The brain activity of 1 second was duplicated by the most advanced hardware out there, and they were over the moon. Now, with the most advanced hardware, we were able to duplicate 1 second of a human being's brain activity. 1 second versus 2 hours of the most advanced technology available to human beings. The computer that you and I have, it would take it 24 hours to do that. 1 second of your brain activity. And this is the God that you and I disobey. This is the God that we are not thankful of what He has given to us. That for you to be able to see me, billions of molecules and atoms and protons and electrons, they have to work together in sync for you to see me. If out of those one decides, no, I'm not going to hold the hand of the next, you can't see, you become blind. Right? That is the God who has created us in this lowest form with the extreme complexity. Right? We don't even thank Him for what He has given to us. This is to the young people, and the older people do that too. I don't like my eyes. They're too small. Right? My nose is too big. My ears I don't like. I don't like my height. Yeah? Why? How come I'm not like this or that? All of these things that we are saying, we are actually being unthankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without realizing the complexity of the things that He has given to us. Do you know how much your eye is worth? In money. Paiso ke andar aapki koi aankh ki kimat lagai. So far they haven't been able to duplicate the exact same eye that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. And if they will ever duplicate, it is going to be from the same blueprint and everything the same that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in one cell. That even if they were able to clone this eye, it is going to start from that one cell that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that had all of that information into it. They only provide the environment for it to divide and develop into an eye. They're not creating an eye out of nothing. And all of that data into one cell that you cannot see from your eyes, as you have to take a microscope to see it. And we become so unthankful about it until we lose our sight. Until we cannot see properly, we slowly, slowly start realizing the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon us. Right? So, this complexity and this sequence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the whole universe, it is all going towards which goal? One goal. Remember our talk so far? Right? It goes back to one goal, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why we were discussing, this is the third hour that I'm with you. Okay, so I've only been speaking about this for 3 hours or so. Okay, a third hour hasn't finished yet. Okay? So out of the 3 hours, if I was to ask you a question, what did I say, and you can only tell me in 2 minutes what I have said, it's a little bit of injustice. No? The 3 hours you've listened, and if somebody asks you, okay, what did Hassan say, or I asked you, what did I say, and you can just summarize it, or all you remember is just 2 minutes, that would be a bit of injustice. Yes or no? It would be a little bit of injustice. So for this injustice not to happen, what I do is, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for humility and the ability to be able to do that, is that I go through what I have covered for you before, so that it repetition and repetition and repetition, you can understand and memorize what I have said. That's the only purpose. So I don't want you to go away from me if I am telling you what I spoke about yesterday. Right? It's only for the benefit of myself as well and you too, so that we can remember more. So what we started with is that everything is means that are going towards one end, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also discussed that whether it is religion or everything else that you do, all of that is means. Namaz is means, fasting is means, all of that is means, and the actual end is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why we have to discuss this point is because the topic is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we don't consider all of these things as means, guess what's going to happen? If this is our end, we're going to fall in love with it. You see? If we make them as our end, then we fall in love with it. But if they stay as means, we never fall in love with it. Is there anybody who falls in love with a knife? Well, there are some people. There are some people, they collect knives. Right? They'll collect knives, all these different, you know, jiske daste mukhtalif hote hain, uska color mukhtalif hota hai, you know, all of these different things. They collect it and they put it on the walls. I have a knife collection. What is this? For this person, he's fallen in love with a knife. What good is a knife on a wall? The knife was made so that you can use it to cut some vegetables or to cut the meat. Use it for your things that you require. But the person falls in love with it, starts collecting it. Or have you seen car collectors? Yeah? They collect cars. They spend millions of dollars, you know. Like a 1960 Corvette, you know, 1967 Corvette is going to go for around $20,000, right? So exchange rate is 1.9, it's approximately close to maybe 10,000 pounds. And that, even that 10,000 pounds is cheap if you get one, right? Majority of the time when the Corvette comes here and all the rest of the, you know, the freight and everything else, and it goes through the auction, people love American cars here. So you're looking at about, let's say, 20,000 pounds. What does he do with, spends 20,000 pounds, buys this Corvette, what does he do? Put it in the showroom. Doesn't drive it. Just keeps it there. Right? Once in a while, if the turn comes to that car, he takes it out. And then he's so worried, right? When he starts to park in those small roads that you have, you know, the tiny roads, a Corvette going in those tiny roads is going to be difficult to drive it, right? Becomes so scared that what if the paint scratch goes away, this is a 20,000 pounds car. The car was not made to collect, to fall in love with. The cars were made to drive it. To go from A to B. And that's it. So you will see people who fall in love with these things because to them, collecting cars is their end. This is their goal. They do not look at these cars as means. And the same thing happens for you and I when we fall in love with our careers. You know? People have said this, and for the youngsters, don't fall into that trap. Okay? You will hear people say, you know, I'm married to my job. Right? It's very common people say that. I'm married to my job, or I have two wives. One is my job and the other is at home. Right? When you look at it and you think about it, it's like, how can you fall in love with a career and compare it with your wife who is the mother of your children, who has sacrificed her life for you, that you have the audacity to compare her with something which is intangible, you can't even see it. That has not nothing for you except to put you in hardship. Yeah? But people fall in love with their career. They fall in love with their jobs. But job is means, it's not the end. Job is means so that you can get the money, which is also the means, so that you can get the groceries, which are also the means, so you can have food and take care of the need of your body, which is also taking care of that need, is a means of that machinery which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for some other purpose. Not to just fuel it and fuel it and fuel it. Not for that. So in a society in the world that we live, it is so difficult to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because humanity has fallen in love with cars. They have fallen in love with jobs, with careers. They have fallen in love with, you know, knives and those collectibles, like the coins. They fall in love with so many things. How can you fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When all the means become your master, your hadaf, your end. And someone who has a million masters, how can they fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You with me? How many hearts do you have? Now, we're not talking about this water pump that pumps the red color water. Right? We're not talking about that. How many hearts do you have? One. You have one heart. Right? Okay. So be with me. If somebody says, you know, you sell your wife, you must not go to Urdu mein ye bata dete hain bachon ko kya lage. Right? Aap apni biwi se ja ke kahen ke main aapse masalan 95% pyar karta hoon. یا آپ اپنے بیٹی سے جا کے کہیں کہ میں آپ سے مثلا 90% پیار کرتا ہوں ٹھیک ہے یا اپنے کریئر کو جا کے کہیں بھائی میں تم سے the job is requiring 110% from you right you go and tell your employer you know بابا میں جو ہے نا آج سے یعنی 70% کام کروں گا 30% میں کچھ اور کروں گا I only love you 70%, the rest I'll give to someone else. Right? You tell Shaitan even that I will obey you, Maslan, 30% of the time, but 70% I'll obey someone else. None of them would accept that. None of them. Your wife would say, "Oh, 5% jisse aap pyar karte ho, uske paas chale jao." Your daughter would say, you know, how is it that I am your only daughter and you love me 90% but you love somebody else, like my brother or something, 95%? How is this possible? Right? None of the things that we are in love with will accept anything less than 100%. And how many hearts do we have? One. So what to do? Wife is asking for one. Job is asking for one. Car is asking for one. House is asking for one. All of them are asking for that one heart that I have. Whom to give? Whomever I'm going to give, the rest of them are going to complain. So what is the solution? Yeah, solution is, you give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is your end, He is your hadaf, He is your purpose, the rest of the things automatically in your eyes will just become means. They will automatically become means and you will automatically fall out of love from them. And you'll be only in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guess the other benefit. Everything else is going to feel except of shaitan that you love them 100%. Your wife will say, my husband loves me 100%. Your kids will say, my dad loves me 100%. Even your job will say, he loves me 100%. Right? How will this happen? It's because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your end, He's your hadaf, He's your purpose, and everything else is means, you'll start loving those means for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He gave them to you. Because He gave them to you. The wife that you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her to you. The kids that you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave those to you. The job that you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that to you. The car that you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that to you. And everything else that you have as means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that to you. And you will never do injustice. And you will never do injustice to any one of them. You never do zulm on your wife. You never do zulm on your kids. You never do zulm on anyone because they are the means that are associated with the one you love, Allah. And that love will translate into all of the means. Bibi Zainab asked Imam Ali, Baba, do you love us? Imam said, of course I love you. And then Bibi said, but Baba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given only one heart. You also love Allah. In a heart, two loves cannot combine. Why don't you shower us with the love that you have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam of the time knows, wants to show to the rest of the world, look at my daughter. Look at my daughter. Look at her speech. Look at her understanding. Look at her love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you love Allah, you give your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shower us with that love. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam's love. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is a being that we are madly in love with. Right? We are madly in love with him. And he is a source of light. He is a source of all that we have that deals with our ideology. He's the one who has told us the right path and he has told us what is wrong. And he has taken this knowledge from the Holy Prophet. Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha. I am the city of knowledge, and Imam Ali is the door of knowledge. Right? We have all of this knowledge that we have right now being transmitted through the 12 masumin, 12 imams, and they received that from the Holy Prophet, and the Holy Prophet received it by from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the end through whom the knowledge came to the prophets. And that knowledge flowed through the successors, and through the successors it flowed through the ulama, and through the ulama it flows to the ones who do not know. I don't know. So anyone who is in this chain is going to become someone that you and I fall in love with. If we are in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, there's something else that I need to speak about, but first, let's just this junction that we're at. And since we have a few little bit more of our youths here, so, aaj main Urdu mein kam baat kar raha hoon. Jab youths nahi hote, to phir main aapke saath Urdu mein baat kar leta hoon. Lekin kyunki aaj thode se hain, to hum English mein thoda zyada baat karenge. Maa se chahta hoon, lekin agar aapki ijazat ho to. Theek? Salawat padh de Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Again, we have a verse in Surah Shura, which is a verse that almost all of the Shias they have memorized. That kulla as'alukum alayhi ajr illa al-mawaddata fil qurba. That do not ask of them of any reward, but if they want to give you any reward for what you have done for them. In reality, the Prophet brought the message not for the sake of the people, he brought it Because as of a duty appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that message was delivered for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 14 times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to every single prophet, Kulla as'alukum alayhi ajr. Your ajr is with me. Okay. Because who's the employer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ye to ab aaj kal ki dunya mein aap ek maulana ko employee bana lete hain. Aur ye ek kind of ironic si cheez hai. The youth shall come to you. Badi ironic si hai. Maulana ka kya matlab hota hai? Kabhi socha? Our master. How can our master become your employee? How can your master, Maulana, Maula, master, Maulana, our master, Maulaya, my master. How can that become an employee? If you just think about it, could you sign this piece of paper for 2 years that you are going to be our master? Like we live in such an ironic time that we haven't even thought about things that we do. We only go through the movement of our tongue and we don't realize what we are saying. We only give respect for the sake of giving respect. We do not know whom to give respect. But we just give respect for the sake of giving it. Right? So, this person who is called a Maulana is supposed to be our master. And if you do not wish to be, right, the slave of this person, I don't know, if you say to somebody, you're my maula, then who are you? Gulam hai na phir to aap. Wo gulam tab tak hote hain jab koi kaam na pade. Jab maula koi kaam keh de to phir koi gulam nahi rehta. Jab tak maula koi kaam na kahe to sab gulam hai. Aur haqeeqat bhi yahi hai hamare imam ke saath. حقیقت ہمارے امام کے ساتھ بھی یہی ہے. ہم سب ان کو اپنا امام کہتے ہیں کیونکہ ابھی انہوں نے آ کے ہمیں کوئی کام نہیں کہا. جس دن آ جائیں گے اور کہیں گے کہ اپنے بچے کو لے آؤ, اپنے بچے کو لے آؤ اور خدا کی راہ میں قربان کر, اپنے گھر جان اور مال کو خدا کی راہ میں قربان کر دو, اس وقت پتہ لگے گا کہ غلام کون ہے اور مولا کون. یہ جو کوفہ کے لوگ تھے, انہوں نے 18,000 سے زیادہ اپنے امام وقت کو خط لکھے تھے, اور ہر خط میں یہ لکھا تھا کہ ہمارے پاس امام نہیں ہے, ہمیں ایک امام چاہیے, ہمارے پاس کوئی ہماری سرپرستی کرنے والا نہیں. آپ کبھی ان کے مضمون کو دیکھیں, ان خطوں کے مضمون کو دیکھیں, عجیب خط لکھے تھے. اور امام جو جواب دیتے ہیں کہ میں تمہارے پاس آؤں گا تو میں قرآن, سنت اور سیرہ نبوی کے اوپر عمل کرتے ہوئے تمہارے درمیان میں امام, اور امام جو ہوتا ہے وہ قضاوت بھی کرتا ہے, لوگوں کو بچاتا بھی ہے دین کے حوالے سے, لوگوں کی اصلاح کرتا ہے, میں وہ کروں گا. انہوں نے کہا ہم ایکسیپٹ کرتے ہیں. حضرت مسلم ابن عقیل گئے, ان کے ہاتھ پہ بیعت کی جو کہ ہاتھ امام وقت کا تھا, اور جب موقع آیا کہ اب اپنی جان کو قربان کریں, اس وقت ماؤں نے اپنے بچوں کو لے لیا, بیوی نے اپنے شوہروں کو لے لیا, بیویوں نے شوہروں کو لے لیا, بہنوں نے اپنے بھائیوں کو لے لیا, اور امام وقت کو اکیلا تنہا. تو یہ ذرا ہمیں سوچنا چاہیے کہ ہم کہہ کیا رہے ہیں. جب آپ یہ کہتے ہیں کہ امام آ جائیں, تو جب امام آ گئے وہ یہ بات برداشت کریں گے کہ آپ کی ناموس بغیر حجاب کے گھر سے نکل جائے؟ وہ برداشت کریں گے؟ وہ چپ رہیں گے؟ وہ کچھ نہیں کہیں گے کہ دیکھیں گے کہ ایک سادانی جس کے اندر بی بی سیدہ کا وہی لینیج ہے نا, کہ وہ گھر سے باہر جا رہی ہے لیکن اس کے سر پہ چادر نہیں, اس کے پاس حجاب نہیں ہے, وہ چپ رہیں گے. جب وہ یہ دیکھیں گے کہ وہ شخص, یعنی جس حسین کو وہ رو رہا ہے, جس حسین نے قربانی دے کے اس دین کو بچایا, وہ اس دین پہ نہیں چل رہا, وہ چپ رہیں گے. کہ وہ شخص جو اپنے آپ کو شیعہ کہتا ہے امام علی کا لیکن جھوٹ بولتا ہے, وہ چپ رہیں گے. کہ وہ شخص جو کہتا ہے کہ میں علی کا شیعہ ہوں اور پھر شیعوں کے درمیان میں فتنہ اور فساد اور کبر دکھاتا ہے, وہ چپ رہیں گے. وہ جب آئیں گے تو وہ چپ نہیں رہیں گے, کیونکہ امام وقت پہ واجب ہے امر بالمعروف و نہی عن المنکر. امر بالمعروف و نہی عن المنکر ہو سکتا ہے کہ ہم پہ کبھی کہیں پہ کچھ شرائط کے مطابق ہم پہ واجب نہ رہے, لیکن امام وقت ہمیشہ امر بالمعروف و نہی عن المنکر کرے گا. تو ہمیں سوچنا چاہیے کہ ہم کیا کہہ رہے ہیں. تو یہ جو آیت ہے کہتی ہے کہ do not ask of them of any reward, if they want to give you any reward tell them to be near to my near ones. Now this translation that we do of near or love, we need to understand that when something is translated from Arabic or from Persian into English, there is a certain limitation of English. Arabic and Persian, they are quite wasi', quite broad. But English has a very limited vocab and a very limited way of expressing it. Okay? Just to give you a simple idea, how do you translate Bismillah Rahman Rahim? You say, I begin in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. True? Approximately? میں شروع کرتا ہوں اللہ کے نام سے جو بہت زیادہ مہربان اور رحم کرنے والا. یہ کہتے ہیں. Dekhiye ab, I'll give you another translation of Bismillah. I begin in the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. What? I begin in the name of Allah, the entirely merciful and especially merciful. Rahman is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that encompasses mercy for everyone. The trees, the skies, the ocean, every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is within the realm of mercy. Entirely merciful. Beneficence is a product of mercy. In itself is not mercy. Beneficence is a product of mercy, but in itself is not mercy. But we say beneficent. I don't know. And especially merciful, Rahim. That is, there is a special mercy of His that is only specific to those individuals who decide to come into that realm of mercy. That they choose that they are going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobey shaitan, they come into that realm of a special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's going to show in this world and also in the hereafter. In this world is the love of those individuals who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they fall in love with you. They fall in love with you. Angels, they come and stand behind you. The walls, when they say subhanallah, subhanallah, you're able to hear it. That in front of you, the curtains which are in front of everybody else are lifted. That you see the universe and on top of what the universe has in a single moment. Those are the especially mercy of those individuals who have decided to go close to Him. Even to those people who intend to go close to Him, Imam Sajjad al-Islam, he says that if... if the people were to able to understand the status of muridin, yeah, muridin, ye Punjabi wala nahi ho, murid te peer te murid, wo jo hai na peeri muridi, yahan pe murad wo nahi hai. Murid is said to somebody who intend for someone else, jo irada kar leta hai kisi aur ke liye, murid irade se. تو امام سجاد کہتے ہیں کہ اگر لوگوں کو پتہ لگ جائے کہ ایک مرید جو خدا کا ارادہ رکھتا ہے اس کا درجہ کیا ہے, تو تو جب وہ زمین پہ چلے تو کبھی اس کے پاؤں کو وہ زمین پہ نہ لگنے دیں. دنیا کو, if the people of the world knew the status of somebody who just intends to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never allow that person's feet to touch the ground, because they will put themselves in front of him that he could walk on them. As the angels spread the wings for you when you go and learn knowledge, human beings, if they could understand the status of someone who just intends to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has not reached there yet, they will not let that person touch the ground. So mawadda, translated as near or love, we need to look at that translation. Just like I just explained to you, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is a verse for every single surah that has come. It's part of every single surah, other than one. Right? And I don't want to go more in detail about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but it's amazing just this one verse. Should I say one more thing? And then we come back. If you were to take... how would I explain it to you? If you were to take any surah, right? Let's say you take Surah Baqarah. Right? Surah Baqarah. If you were to take that, let's take Surah Al Imran. Okay? Because Surah Baqarah, jaise maine kaha, aap log chale gaye mere se dur. Ki ab itni ayatein usme to abhi. Mashallah. Ki kisi ne kaha ye Surah Baqarah ki tilawat ho rahi hai, wo banda baitha intezar kar raha hai kab khatam hogi. پھر کہتا ہے اب سورہ فیل کی کروں گا, تو کہتا ہے بس میں اب جا رہا ہوں. کہ اگر سورہ بکرا نے اتنا ٹائم لیا تو سورہ آل عمران کی 200 آیات ہیں, 200 verses. Every verse, if you were to look at it, is actually an explanation of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim that comes in the beginning. Amazing. Every verse is an explanation of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and when that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim connects to that verse, every Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the beginning and every Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim connected to that one verse has a different meaning. All encompassing in the word, I begin in the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Nahin. Did you get it? The Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, one verse of the Quran, correlates with the 6,000 plus verses in a manner that when you connect that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim with every single verse of Quran, it gives you a different meaning that is still inside of that encompassing mercy and especially merciful. Amazing, right? So, mawadda is not near in love. So, is there a word for it? Unfortunately, the limitation of the English language, as far as I know, there is no one word that will do the justification to mawaddat. Okay? So we'll just go through a little bit of explanation of what mawaddat means, because we want to talk about the love of Imam Ali. Right? Remember where I left you. Right? Mawadda is the initial instinctive emotion of like. When a child is born, has an instinct, and that instinct attracts that child towards milk. Nobody has taught it. There's an instinct to breathe. Nobody's taught it. Nobody has taught the child. It's just coming to the world. There's an instinct to breathe, to go close to oxygen, to take this oxygen, go inside and inhale and exhale. Right? Nobody tells it that this is milk that is the life giver of yours. that you need to drink it. Nobody teaches it how to drink it, where to find it, knows itself. Has an instinct that attracts it. When this instinct of attraction is raised, with me, is raised in the lap of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this instinct grows up and is called mawaddat. When it is raised in the lap of love of Allah, then this instinct of attraction develops into maturity, and when it matures, the love, that maturity, that emotion is called mawadda. Now tell me, English, could it ever encompass that? Is there a word for it? Just by saying love, I mean, you have love for the car, you have love for things, you have love for the knife, you have love for the coins, you have love for this, and you say, I have love for Imam Ali. It's not the same. One of the effects of this mature instinct of attraction is that the person who falls in love with Imam Ali never is worried to ask Imam Ali what they want. But they are worried in what my Imam wants. The one who has mawaddat between his master is not worried, doesn't take the list in front of the master. Master, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need this. When people go for Zara, what do? They have a whole list. Or manna chahiye, maine kaha ki na mange. Lekin abhi tak, us mohabbat ne, us instinct ne, abhi tak, wo maturity ke level pe nahi aayi. Wo abhi bhi bachchon ki tarah hai. Wo abhi bhi chote bachchon ki tarah hai. Jaise chote bachche mangte hain, usi tarah se. Ki Hazrat Abbas se jaake hum aulaad mange, Hazrat Abbas denge aulaad. تو شک و شبہ ہی نہیں ہے لیکن حضرت عباس سے آپ خوف خدا مانگ سکتے تھے حضرت عباس سے آپ مانگ سکتے تھے کہ روز محشر میں آپ کا وہ درجہ ہو کس درجے پہ حضرت عباس کے شیعہ ہوں گے اب حضرت عباس سے وفا مانگ سکتے تھے جو پیکر وفا ہے اس کے حرم میں جا کے کس نے دعا مانگے کہ اے مولا آپ وفا کے پیکر ہیں مجھے وفا سکھا ابھی مانگی کہ جو آپ کا علم ہے جو کہ شعر اللہ میں سے ہے کہ جو علم ہے شعر اللہ میں سے ہے کہ جو کہتا ہے کہ میرے جیسا اس جیسے کے ساتھ بیعت نہیں کر سکتا مجھے بھی سکھائیں کہ میرا ہاتھ کبھی کسی باطل کے ہاتھ میں نہ جائے یہ حضرت عباس سے مانگا تو مبتت کیا ہے that when you go to حضرت عباس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم you're not worried about what you want from حضرت عباس but you're worried what حضرت عباس wants from you and if you give him what he wants from you he will give everything that you want you do not have to ask You do not have to ask because the relationship of mawadda is such that the person who is the slave does whatever the master bids and the master gives the slave whatever the slave wants. A slave girl of Imam Hassan comes to him and gives him a rose or a flower. Imam Hassan tells her, you're free. آکی کیا دیتی ہے پھول دیتی ہے امام کو اور امام کہتے ہیں کہ تم آزاد ہو In those days to free a slave costed a lot of money for their freedom So there was a person with Imam Hassan he said Mola she just gave you a rose she just gave you a flower and you are telling her that she is a free woman اس نے پھول دیا آپ نے اس کو آزاد کر دیا اب سنیں مولا نے کہا اس کے پاس جو تھا اس نے وہ مجھے دے دیا میرے پاس جو تھا میں نے اس کو دے دیا ये जो उसके पास है उसने वो मुझे दिया. What she owned, what she had. As a slave, you cannot own anything. Right? Everything belongs to the master. But she had taken that flower, and that flower happens to be hers. And she decided that she is going to give to her master. And the master is Imam Hassan. Right? He said, she gave me what she had, what she owned. I gave her what I owned. I owned her freedom, I gave it to her. Right? So if we love Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, then we have to do what he's saying. Because what he has said in Nahjul Balagha, what he has said in Kalimatul Kisar, is what he wants from us. He wants the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants us not to lie. He wants us not to do backbiting. He wants us to climb the ladders to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants us to learn Quran and study it and implement it in our lives. This is what your Mawla wants. This is what he wants. If you give that to him, he will give everything that he has. And tell me what he doesn't have. And Imam Ali ke paas kaun si aisi cheez hai jo nahi hai? Soch. Maula ke paas sab kuch hai. Wo sab aapka ho sakta hai. Jo Maula ke paas hai, wo Kareem khandan se. Imam Ali alaihi assalam Kareem khandan se, Sakhi khandan se. Jo ruku ki halat mein خدا کی راہ میں صدقہ دے دے, جو اپنی بھوک کو اسیر کے لیے مسکین کے لیے روک دے نہ کھائے, جو یتیم بچوں کے لیے خود اپنے ہاتھ سے کھانا بنائے, جو اسلام کی خاطر مسلمانوں کے فائدے کے لیے اپنے گھر کو جلتا دیکھ لے, گھر کا در جلایا جائے, رسول کے جسم کے ٹکڑے کو در اور دیوار کے درمیان میں جو در جل رہا ہو, جلتے ہوئے در اور دیوار کے درمیان میں جو اس کو دیکھ لے, جو اس کو دیکھ لے اور کہے کہ اسلام کی خاطر کہ خدا کا دین بچ جائے, اور جو بعد میں آئیں گے, جو بعد میں آئیں گے اور جب اس واقعے کو دیکھیں گے اور میرے صبر کو دیکھیں گے, وہ جان جائیں گے کہ دین کی اہمیت کیا ہوتی ہے, وہ سیکھ جائیں گے کہ دین کی اہمیت کیا ہوتی ہے, اور وہ اس دین کی قیمت, اس دین کی لاج رکھیں گے, اس کے نور کی بقا رکھیں گے, کہ اگر کبھی دین مشکل میں آ جائے تو وہ اپنا ہر سب کچھ قربان کر دیں گے لیکن اس دین کے نور کو کم نہیں ہونے دیں گے. اس کے بعد کربلا میں سکھایا, ہمیں بتایا ہے جس بی بی کی شہادت کے ایام میں, آپ کو بتایا ان کا کہ بابا کو قربان کر دیا, بابا کو اجازت دے دی کہ جا کے قربان ہو جائے. بی بی سکینہ جنہوں نے دیکھا کہ حضرت عباس سے کہا کہ پانی لے آؤ اور چچا واپس لیا, اور چچا نے بھی کہا مولا میری لاش کو نہ لے کے جائیے گا. حضرت عباس کی وصیت میں سے تھا امام حسین کو. کبھی آپ تصور کریں اگر امام حسین حضرت عباس کو اٹھاتے بھی تو کیسے اٹھاتے.
शख्स की तबर टूट चुकी हो, उस लाश के शाने ना हो, उसको अगर उठाते भी तो कैसे उठाते? कि दीन की कुर्बानी के, दीन को बचाने के लिए बीबी सकीना ने इमाम हुसैन से कहा कि आप जाएं बाबा, ये सकीना आपको पता है कि बीबी इमाम हुसैन के मुस्तरिब दिल को सुकून पहुंचाती थी। आप जितने भी थके हुए हों, परेशान हों, जब घर आए अगर आपकी बेटी है और बेटी आपको आके गले से लगा ले या बाबा बाबा कहे, भाग के आपके पास आए, आपकी सब परेशानियां दूर हो जाती है ना, आपका मुस्तरद दिल आराम पा जाता है। ठीक है, बीबी सकीना जब इमाम हुसैन के सीने पे लेट जाती थी तो उनका ये अमल इमाम हुसैन के मुस्तरब दिल को सुकून पहुंचाता था, इसे उनको कहते थे सकीना। मैं सद के जाऊं मेरे बीबी के इस 6 साल की बच्ची को शिमर जैसे सख्त दिल ने तुमाचे मारे, वालियों को ऐदी बनाया गया, एक ही रसन में पुरोए गए सब, कहती करबला के मैदान से लेके गए, करबला के मैदान से लेके गए। ये मैदान ये वो जगह थी जिसको देख के इमाम सज्जाद का चेहरा सर्द हो गया सर। इमाम सज्जाद का चेहरा सर्द हो गया था जब बीबी जैनब ने कहा बेटे अपने आप को संभालो। इमाम सज्जाद ने कहा कि मैं कैसे संभालूं, बेगोड़ों का फन लाश है, करबला की खाद पर रही। तो बीबी ने कहा बेटे खुदा एक कौम को खल्क करेगा जो आएगी यहाँ पे, आके हम सब के मसाइब पे रोएगी। बीबी सकीना ने वो मंजर देखा हुआ है, बीबी सकीना ने बगैर जीन के उन ऊंटों पे सफर किया हुआ है। बीबी सकीना ने अली असगर का गम तो जिंदान के अंदर, बीबी सकीना जब अंधेरे में एक कोने में ठंडे फर्श पे, और जो शाम का जिंदान है ये घर था जिसकी की छतें गिरने वाली थी, दीवारें गिरने वाली थी, एक खराबा कहलाता है वो था, कि जब बारिश होती थी जब धूप होती थी ये छत जो है वो गिरने वाली थी, कैदियों को ये फिक्र रहती थी कि कहीं ये हम पे गिर ना जाए, कहीं ये सब हम पे गिर ना जाए, जिसमें कई रातें बीबी जैनब जो है वो खड़े होके उन्होंने गुजार दी। ये जगह नहीं थी कि बच्चों का ख्याल रखे, इस जिंदान के कोने में ठंडे फर्श पे रात के अंधेरे में बीबी सकीना जिनका के लिबास आसार जलने के, कुर्ते के, कमीज के कंधों पे बालियों की खिंचाने से खून के कंधों को बाहर बाल बिखरे हुए, चेहरा जर्द, थकी हुई मेरी बीबी थोड़ी देर के लिए सो जाती है, जब उठती है बीबी जैनब के पास जाती है चेहरे पे मुस्कुराहट है, बीबी मैंने बाबा को देखा, मैंने बाबा को देखा। यतीम बच्चे जब बाबा का नाम सुनते रोने लग जाते हैं। अब ये यतीम बच्ची को देखें, जालिम चुप करवाना चाह रहे, क्यों रो रहे? हुसैन की यतीम बच्ची रो रही है, जाओ ये हुसैन का सर ले जाओ उसके लिए, जाओ ये हुसैन का सर ले जाओ। امام زمان نے سلام کیا ہے زیارت نہیا میں, اس کٹی ہوئی رگوں پہ جو خوش
زندان کے دروازے پہ شخص داخل ہوتا ہے, ایک تاش ہے اس کے اوپر کپڑا ہے, بی بی سکینہ کے قدموں میں لا کے رکھ دیتا ہے. بی بی کہتی ہے کہ میں بھوکی نہیں ہوں, جب اس کپڑے کو ہٹایا جاتا ہے ایک 6 سال کی بچی اپنے باپ کا کٹا ہوا سر دیکھتی ہے, بی بی سکینہ بیٹھ کے بابا کے سر کو اپنے ہاتھوں میں باتیں کرنا شروع کرتی ہے, بابا ہمیں قیدی بنایا گیا, آپ کے جانے کے بعد رسول کی بیٹیوں کی چادروں کو کھینچا گیا, میری بالیوں کو کھینچا گیا, یتیموں کے سر پہ شفقت کا ہاتھ پھیرا جاتا ہے, ہمیں تماچے مارے گئے, ہمیں زندان میں رکھا گیا. ایک 6 سال کی بچی اپنے باپ کے کٹے ہوئے سر کے ساتھ باتیں کر رہی ہے, بی بی سکینہ کہتی ہوتی تھی کہ اپنی گالوں کو امام حسین کی گالوں کے ساتھ لگا دیتی تھی. آپ نے دیکھا ہوگا بچے جب پیار کرتے ہیں ایک 6 سال کے بچے اپنے کٹے ہوئے اپنے باپ کے کٹے ہوئے سر کو اپنے گالوں کی طرف لے کے آتی ہے, اپنے گال کو اپنے باپ کے گال کے ساتھ لگاتی ہے. یہ اس بیٹی کی اس بچی کی گال ابھی گرم تھی, اب سرد ہو گئی. باپ کی گالیں بھی سرد ہے, بیٹی کی گال بھی سرد ہو گئی. بی بی رونے لگتی ہے, آئے سکینہ چلی گئی, آئے سکینہ چلی گئی. امام سجاد کے سامنے بی بی سکینہ کی لاش ہے, اب کیا کرے, زندان میں ہے, غربت ہے, اپنے ہاتھوں سے کمر کھودتے ہیں, ہمارے پاس کچھ ہے بھی میرے والا سجاد سلام ہو آپ کے ہاتھوں میں. کتنی دیر لگی ہوگی اس ننی سی قبر کو کھودنے میں, خدایا ہمارے آنکھوں سے نکلے ہوئے آنسوؤں کو اپنی بارگاہ میں قبول کر لے, ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف کر دے, ہمارے دل کو اپنی طرف متوجہ کر دے, ہماری روح کو پاک اور صاف کر دے. خدا بی بی سکینہ کے صدقے, میری بی بی کے صدقے میں ہم کو امام کا سپاہی بنا دے, امام کا ظہور جلد از جلد کر دے. خدایا وہ دشمن جنہوں نے ان سارے مصائب کو اہل البیت پہ لے کر آئے, ان کو جہنم کے سب سے نچلے درجات پہ ہمیشہ کے لیے عذاب میں رکھ. ماتم حسین.